Worth It, by Ink for Human Hands, read by Coprime. Rating: explicit. Archive warning: no archive warnings apply. Fandom: Daredevil TV. Relationships: Matt Murdock / Foggy Nelson. Additional tags: point of view Foggy Nelson, angst and fluff and smut, first dates, Matt Murdock and Foggy Nelson at Columbia, miscommunication, one night stands, getting together, blowjobs, anal sex, point of view top, restaurants, friends to lovers, and first time. Summary: Foggy has been pining after Matt for 3 years, so when the hookup king himself lines him up as his next one-night stand, Foggy isn't about to say no. He just hopes that when things inevitably go back to normal between them, he can still say it was worth it. Chapter 1: The Hookup King and His Unassuming Escort. Hey, what do you say we grab dinner when we get out of here? Foggy flicked his eyes up from his Excel spreadsheet and across the flimsy divider that separated his desk from Matt's in their broom closet of an office. His fellow intern, roommate, and best friend was leaning back fearlessly in his chair, hands folded over his stomach and a smirk playing with his lips. It was that unassuming flirtiness that was always disarming Foggy, even though whenever he'd seen Matt in action with one of his parade of one-night stands, he'd always seemed a bit more intentional. Maybe someday he, too, would earn something intentional, Foggy thought in a sort of silent prayer. Lately, he'd taken up the blasphemous habit of appending amen to one-line pleas to Matt's God in the hopes that the Almighty would see his plight and intervene on his behalf. Please, Jesus, throw your bisexual brethren a bone here. Amen. He crossed himself quickly as an afterthought, not sure exactly which part of a prayer was the bit that sent it to God. Matt frowned across from him, and Foggy realized with a start that he had yet to respond. Yeah, totally, he rushed out. Where were you thinking? Like, tacos, or... That smirk was back. You'll see. A 20-minute walk from Landman and Zach, during which Matt rebuffed each of Foggy's increasingly outlandish guesses at what they were about to consume, put them in front of a set of glass doors with a sandwich board propped up on the ground outside. Foggy eyed the wine prices on it and laughed nervously. Are you sure I was that far off with the gold-plated pickles idea? This place looks pricey. Foggy wished, not that he'd ever have turned down an invitation from Matt, that he'd been given a heads-up about the price tag on his dinner plans. Their internship at L&Z wasn't unpaid, but even so it barely put a dent in their student loans, making Foggy suddenly very aware of how little cash was in his wallet. It was a good thing he'd finally applied for a credit card a few months ago, brushing off years' worth of his parents warning him against the evils of accumulating debt. The reviews did say it was expensive, Matt conceded. But you're worth it. He shrugged casually. Foggy felt himself flush, though he knew Matt didn't mean it in the way he wanted to. Ha, yeah, treat yourself, right? He said, tucking his hair behind his ear. Foggy usually repeated that adage before partaking in smaller luxuries, such as when grabbing one of the more expensive donuts or selecting thicker toilet paper. But he supposed Matt had a point. Was life really worth living if you couldn't make a devastating financial decision every now and again? Foggy steeled himself, then said, "Shall we head inside?" The door had barely shut behind them before Foggy's steel walked itself alchemically backwards to an easily warped bronze. The place was packed. Guests waiting to be seated huddled in groups in the cramped area between the door and the host's podium, and Foggy didn't have to count them to know the waiting time would be impossibly long. If they ever managed to thread their way through this crowd to ask about it, there was no guarantee they'd even make it on the list. He started to remark just this when Matt prompted him forward. Lead away. Foggy glanced at Matt's unwavering smile. At least one of them was optimistic. He allowed Matt's easy confidence to stand in for his own as he led them to the reedy-looking man in the waiter's jacket standing over an open ledger. "Reservation?" he inquired. "Oh, we don't," Foggy began, but was cut off with both a meaningful squeeze to the inside of his elbow and by the singular word to part from Matt's lips. "Murdoch." Really, if the waiter hadn't expected Foggy to guide Matt to the table after him, he didn't think he could have shaken himself out of his surprise quickly enough to avoid concern. Duty took precedence over personal crises, though. He directed Matt to one chair before settling down across from him in the other. Once the waiter left, having been assured Foggy would be fine reading the menu out to Matt on his own, Foggy surveyed the dining room his tunnel vision on the way to their table hadn't allowed him to fully take in. The place was lit warmly, chandeliers suspended from the ceiling at regular intervals, casting a romantic hue over the room. Each table was decked out in fine glassware, with a set of glowing candles in the center for ambiance. The decor left a certain impression of its own, though it was nothing to speak of the restaurant's patrons. The diamonds glittering off the lady half of the couple to their right sent Foggy reeling, trying to imagine how many years of salary he'd have to be to afford something like that. He couldn't help but ask himself, what were he and Matt doing there, really? Sharing a dinner after work was nothing out of the ordinary, of course. It was the trappings that gave Foggy pause. The reservation? The extravagance? The fact that, other than a family of four dressed to the nines, the place was populated exclusively by dining couples? Each factor alone was worth a jokey comment, but all of them put together? It was just enough to set a guy's mind spinning. And spin Foggy's mind did. He'd been with Matt every minute since his what he'd assumed had been spontaneous invitation, which meant the reservation had already been in place. Okay. Premeditated. Foggy reached for the menu. His mind spun quicker, desperate to resolve its question, before he had to open his mouth and start reading out the food options to Matt. A date. But no, don't misunderstand him. Not a date with him. Not a date with Foggy. Matt's real date had obviously canceled, and the reservation had been simply too good to waste. And so, here we are, Foggy thought. He was a stand-in. He scanned the menu's headings, wondering where to start now that that was cleared up. Are you into appetizers? Matt shook his head, smiling. I think I'd rather leave room for dessert. You? You make a good point, Foggy said. Drinks, then? Wait for the wine recommendation, Matt suggested. Right. Even having concluded that his sharing this table with Matt was the result of mere pragmatism, Foggy's subconscious had yet to catch up. The romantic overtones of the atmosphere, combined with Matt's Mattness across from him, kept him from being able to quash the notion that, in a perverse sort of way, he was on a date with Matt. Or in the shape of one, anyway, and, real or not, that came with nerves. He cursed his sweaty palms, resisting the urge to wipe them on his pants, at least until he was done with the menu, and turned the page to the list of entrees. Oh, great. He should have inferred it from the restaurant name, but the menu confirmed it. They were at a French restaurant, and Foggy was woefully out of his depth. It was one thing to read French words he didn't know the meaning of, silently inside his head, with no one else privy to his misguided pronunciations. It was another to unleash them on Matt's virgin ears. So, for entrees, he began, skipping a couple items at the top of the list in favor of starting at the third one down for its resemblance to English. We have Le Hamburger, which has pickled green tomato on it, apparently. Foggy looked up from the menu to gauge Matt's reaction and was greeted by the sight of conspicuously twitching lips. I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to pronounce the H, Matt said, nostrils flaring in what was really not a subtle attempt to keep from laughing outright. Foggy squirmed in his chair. You know what I mean, he said, and then paled when he looked back down at the menu and realized that probably wouldn't be true for the remaining French he had to get through. He girded himself for the next entree on the list. Moules frites? He attempted. Matt's brow furrowed as if he had to perform some complex mental calculations. Foggy imagined a conveyor belt running in his head, transporting his English-informed guess backwards into its French spelling, and then again out frontwards into the correct pronunciation. It had to be a tricky task, but he believed in Matt, even if he wondered how the hell an orphan who'd never left the city had gotten so damn worldly. "Mulfrit?" Matt said, with rising intonation, as if there was any real doubt hidden in that perfectly French R tucked into the back of his throat. Shaking his head slightly in bewilderment, Foggy said, "Yeah, sure, probably." Matt finally let go of the laugh he'd been suppressing, though he tempered it with a downward turn of his head and a finger to wipe away what might have been a tear forming behind his glasses. Once he'd gotten it out of his system, he gestured at Foggy to go on. "Please continue," he said. Foggy turned back to the menu. Another quick pass over it had him swearing silently to himself. He'd hoped that the moule frites, whatever those even were, would be the entree to call out to Matt so he'd be able to stop embarrassing himself. Not with his luck, apparently. "You wouldn't be interested in this one with macaroni in the title, would you?" he asked. "It has goat cheese, camembert, parmesan, and whatever the hell raclette is. It's a cheese, too." "Wow." Foggy thought he'd had a firm grasp on cheeses from picking off his family's butcher shop's unsold charcuterie boards growing up, but apparently the world of the bourgeoisie had secret cheeses along with its secret pronunciations. A working-class butcher's son had no hope of keeping up. "Is that a no on the macaroni front, then?" Foggy said, producing a sigh and already scanning the menu for the next pronounceable item. While attempting the string of nonsense that was de riz aux champignons was a bit above his pay grade, the paella that led it was at least something he'd heard of. "How about paella? It's got mushroom rice," Foggy said, impressed. "And then you've got your shrimp, scallops, and mussels." He looked up from the page again in time to see Matt wrinkle his nose. "Scallops," he said, like the word itself was poison. "Someone's picky tonight," Foggy teased him. "You've only read me like 4 items," Matt protested, laughing. "How am I supposed to decide?" "Okay, okay. Get ready for this one. It's gonna knock your socks off. They have," Foggy paused for effect, "a whole grilled branzino." Matt opened his mouth in feigned disbelief. "You're kidding. A whole grilled branzino?" "Yes, sir." "You know, I may have just decided," Matt said, much to Foggy's relief. He soon noted, however, the particularly smug brand of smile Matt was wearing. Something had to be afoot. Matt only ever got that look when he was about to reveal the punchline to a terrible joke, and Foggy could tell this one was going to be at his expense. "You're getting the fucking hamburger, aren't you?" he said, with a pronounced air of weariness. Matt's eyes crinkled at the corners of his glasses as an outright giggle escaped him. He fingered the edge of his cloth napkin, still folded neatly on the table, as he composed himself enough to respond with a damning, "Maybe." "Well, in that case," Foggy said, waving down the waiter, "I don't feel so bad about going with the macaroni." They ordered, and since Foggy was now free from the clutches of the French language, he seized the opportunity to ferret out information about the girl who'd been audacious enough to stand up a catch like Matt. Maybe if he had half of her nerve, he would have found someone by now to help him get past his useless pining over his best friend. "I bet so-and-so is going to be sad she missed all this finery," Foggy said, doing his best to make his statement seem like an offhand remark and not about a subject he was overly invested in. "There are like 3 different types of forks out." An indention appeared between Matt's eyebrows. "So-and-so?" he asked. "You know," Foggy said uncertainly, "whoever you reserve this dinner for." Matt smiled, a bit tightly if Foggy wasn't projecting. "Foggy, I reserved it for you. You're my date tonight." Foggy's stomach did a somersault. He took a sip of his ice water to wet his suddenly dry throat. A rogue seed from the slice of lemon adorning the lip of the glass slipped into the back of it, and he coughed. Praying Matt didn't read anything too much into his sputtering as he wiped the corner of his mouth with the back of his hand, Foggy let his mind whir with this new information. Okay, so, the facts. He laid them out one by one, the way he did when going over the evidence for his fake clients and their coursework. The reservation was for him. There was no girl who'd stood up Matt. Matt had used the word date, unbelievably, in reference to Foggy. It all pointed in one direction, and Foggy was waking up to the fact in the startling sort of way one looks up and finds they've turned onto a one-way street. And the name of the street, in Foggy's case, was finally added to Matt's list of one-night stands Avenue. "Oh," he said. Just then, the waiter came around with a bottle of wine he'd recommended and filled their glasses, earning them both a brief respite from having to move the conversation forward. Foggy could tell his one-word response to what Matt had obviously assumed to be a shared interpretation of the situation had thrown him. The pleasant expression he showed the waiter was brittle. When they were alone again, Matt spoke hesitantly. "I apologize if I read things wrong. I just thought..." He winced, and Foggy couldn't leave him thinking he was anything less than thrilled to finally have this chance, notwithstanding certain caveats. He'd have to thank Jesus for his hard work later. You didn't read them wrong. I am very happy to be your date," he said honestly. Foggy knew Matt couldn't see him, but he averted his eyes anyway. He should probably be more embarrassed about the fact that he was willing to settle for a solitary night of sex in lieu of a go at a real relationship, but it was precisely that he was so far gone on Matt that he'd take whatever he could get, even if it was destined to end with him crushed under the weight of what was almost, but could never be. He resolved to indulge in a little fantasy and worry about the rest when it came time for it. The return of Matt's smile, soft and dimpled, was more than enough to make the eventual heartbreak worth it. "Good. Great," Matt said. He ventured his hand out cautiously over the tablecloth, till his fingertips found the bottom of his wine glass and picked it up. "Should we toast? Do people toast with wine?" "I don't know, but fuck convention," Foggy said. He raised his own glass and warned Matt ahead of reaching across the table and clinking his. "Cheers!" "To a night of romance," Matt said, then brought his glass to his lips. A warm, fluttery feeling spread out in Foggy's chest as he looked across at his date. He was in touch with his emotions enough to be able to properly identify it as what it was. Love. It threatened to spill over right there, seep deeply into the fibers of the tablecloth, stain every last word and the silences in between. Foggy was going to have a hell of a time keeping it casual. Chapter 2. One Night Stand Avenue. "That moose was a mistake," Matt groaned, clutching theatrically at his stomach with the arm that wasn't thrown over Foggy's shoulders. "Hey now, don't blame the poor dessert for your own folly," Foggy chastised him, although part of him was in agreement. The chocolate mousse they'd split to close out dinner was sitting deceptively heavy in his gut as they made their way back to the apartment they'd shared since their third year of law school began. It was dark out and chilly. The light pollution hid the stars, but the moon winked at them now and then from in between buildings. Foggy was slightly wine drunk, and he suspected Matt was too. Some of the magic from the restaurant had worn off, the coolness of the night air sobering Foggy, only in as much as it reminded him their night had a destination. He was free to worry now that Matt would change his mind and deem Foggy too much of a friend to risk it by throwing carnal desire into the mix. Foggy hated himself a bit for it, but he wanted this now, was desperate in a way that he hadn't realized he'd had the capacity for. And yet, despite his hunger for it, he couldn't figure out a way to act around Matt that was any different from how they'd always been. As they drew closer to their apartment, Foggy was seized by the fear that when they reached it, he'd reflexively bid Matt goodnight and shut the door to his room in his face. He shivered. "Cold?" Matt asked him. "Don't worry, we're almost there," he said, rubbing Foggy's shoulder to generate some warmth from the friction. Little did he know that was just the thing to make Foggy melt entirely. Less than a full minute later, they'd arrived at the steps of their building. Foggy was about to head up them when he felt a tug on his arm. He turned around to see Matt was blushing. "Would you like to come up?" Matt said, as though they didn't already live together. So he hadn't thought better of it. They were still on course, and all Foggy had to do was follow his lead. He went back for Matt to walk with him arm in arm. "I would love to, oh suave, handsome man of my dreams," he said, and they headed inside. Foggy pulled out his key when they got to the landing and fitted inside the lock. He placed his hand on the doorknob, but before he'd so much as tightened his grip to twist it, he felt two hands pull him in by the lapels of his jacket. Matt's lips crashed into his after that, and they spent a breathless 30 seconds entwined in each other. Matt pulled back, leaving Foggy with sweet notes of chocolate mousse and a profound yearning to finish what they'd started. "Sorry," he said, running a hand through the front of his hair. "I've just been dying to do that all night." Foggy looked at Matt, his lips already red and slightly swollen, his blue windbreaker fallen halfway down his arm, and he knew that he'd never survive this, and that the knowledge wouldn't be enough to stop him. He turned the doorknob, pushed the door open with his shoulder, and drew Matt through it with him. Their lips connected again on the other side, and so began a disastrous journey through their tiny kitchen to whichever one of their bedrooms was the closest. The part of Foggy's brain that dealt with such logistics was, you'll understand, non-functioning. Shoes were fumbled off, jackets caught on limbs, hips were checked on corners that hadn't existed, Foggy was sure, until they'd run into them, too absorbed in each other to move their bodies toward any real purpose that wasn't connection, self-preservation included. Foggy was lost, eyes closed and then half-lidded, his mouth pressed to Matt's mouth, his chin, the intersection of his jaw and neck, till he needed a map to make his way back. Foggy was lost, hands scrabbling at the hem of Matt's shirt, digging into his shoulder blades, clutching and needy back down at his waist as he pinned Matt to the 2-foot strip of wall in between the doors that led to their separate beds. Foggy was found, oh, Foggy was found, in the steady hand that Matt trailed from his forehead down the side of his face to cradle his jaw, gentle and firm, like he was sculpting him from clay. Foggy was found in the drag of Matt's teeth over his lip, the apologetic suckle, the slide of Matt's tongue against his, each kiss that told Foggy he was wanted. Foggy was found in the breathy gasp he coaxed out of Matt pawing at his jeans. He was found and then lost again in the haze of his need. He heard the jiggle of the doorknob before he processed what it could mean, was spun around and pushed through it all the barely 4 steps to the bed. Matt's bed. It was Matt's smell. He was lying on Matt's bed the way he'd imagined 100 times, guiltily, longingly. He reached up, steadied Matt by the shoulders as he clambered onto the bed above him, looked into his eyes unobscured by the glasses he'd lost somewhere in the kitchen, and saw his own want reflected back at him. Big and huge and so embarrassing he thought he might break down right there, but he didn't. He pulled Matt's face down to his, licked into him until they were both panting, shirts off, pants off, rolling around trying to touch everywhere at once, be everywhere at once, feel each other until that wasn't enough and they were aching and trembling. Foggy slipped his hand underneath the waistband to Matt's boxers, the coarse hairs there a tease against his fingers until he found what he was looking for. Matt was gratifyingly hard. Foggy rubbed his thumb against the head of Matt's dick, and Matt whimpered. He kissed Foggy again and slid both their boxers off, dropping them off the side of the bed and into the abyss where nothing mattered, because the only things in this whole world that mattered were on that bed, were he and Matt, and he and Matt, and he and Matt. Foggy nearly short-circuited when Matt reciprocated with a hand around his cock and one lazy stroke that was anything but tailored and precise and efficient and intentional. God, Matt knew what he was doing, knew enough to back off and let Foggy's dick sing against the open air, compose poems about its long-distance lover. His breath on Foggy's neck sent a tremor quaking through him, and then Matt's lips were on him, lavishing the sensitive skin there with attention. Foggy closed his eyes, indulged himself in the feel of Matt leaving his mark on him. An offhand thought ran through his head that he was taking it home with him as a souvenir, and that might have been funny, but it was also sad, and Foggy didn't have time for sad. He only had one shot at this. He pushed Matt off of him and flipped him onto his back. Matt went down easy, his face open and eager as he angled it up toward Foggy, giving him his full attention. Foggy would have said it then, he thought. The I love you? It almost tumbled its way past his lips, despite all his care to safeguard his true feelings. Afraid that it might sink down, under his breath, to reach Matt's ears, he busied himself. He kissed Matt gently, at the corner of his mouth, then his collarbone, his last rib, dipped below to the inside of his thigh. He encircled Matt's cock with his hand and pumped it, the skin sliding gracefully over the shaft, and Matt moaned unabashedly. The noise turned Foggy into liquid. He wanted nothing more than to draw that sound out of him, over and over, make Matt feel like he never needed to go to church again, because heaven would never compare. Foggy would do anything. He glanced up at Matt and saw his lips parted, his chin tilted up toward the ceiling, and he knew. He would walk 1,000 miles, move mountains, drown in cliches, if it would help Matt to feel holy. He did what he could. He stroked Matt once before taking him into his mouth. Matt gasped and Foggy set to work. He swallowed Matt's dick down, teased the end of it on the way back up, spent some time there before licking from the base to the head. Foggy, Matt whined, his fists balling up in the sheets and his hips bucking off the mattress of their own accord. Foggy was doing something right. He grabbed Matt's ass to pull him closer and buried his face in him, inhaling deeply through his nose with his throat still full. He pulled off with a twist and jerked Matt off a few times with one hand, while caressing his balls with the other. Matt's breath was coming out heavy, and pre-cum was leaking from his dick. Foggy smeared it over the head with his thumb and applied pressure to the bundle of nerves at its base. Matt cried out, jerking minutely upwards. I don't want to come yet, he said, his voice hoarse. It was a plea, and Foggy complied. He left his station between Matt's thighs and traveled up his body to plant a fierce kiss on Matt's mouth. Matt was grateful. His sweat shining in the light, Foggy was glad he'd flicked on despite the rush. He murmured in Foggy's ear, stroking his hair. You're perfect. Thank you. Thank you. Foggy opened his mouth, and the words from before, from always, for always, stuck in his throat. He didn't say them. He said, I bet you say that to all the girls. Matt laughed, bless him, startled and loud, then kissed Foggy again. Foggy, he bit his lip. It was going to be kiss swollen for a week, and blushed, seemingly frustrated with himself for not being able to say whatever it was outright. He smiled weakly. Have you ever, would you fuck me? He asked. Foggy opened his mouth. We can do that? He said, head swimming, barely enough blood circulating up there to swim. Matt smiled, his eyes glassy. He took Foggy's cock in his hand again expertly, and within seconds it was back to fully hard, throbbing almost painfully at the lack of friction when he pulled away too soon. We can do that, Matt replied, the gravel in his voice vibrating straight through Foggy to make his dick twitch. Then yes, Foggy said. He let Matt fish out his stash of condoms and lube from his nightstand, not quite believing what was happening. The whole night had been unbelievable, and Foggy wondered if this was what all the girls and guys before him had experienced. A perfect night ending in a perfect fuck. And then, ending. Matt ripped the condom wrapper open with his teeth, and Foggy snapped out of it. It was easy enough to go back to forgetting, when Matt's hands connected with his erection again, to fit first the condom onto him, and then his mouth for an enthusiastically sloppy, abbreviated blowjob. Foggy threw his head back and exhaled shakily, on the cusp of crying out, his hand curled in Matt's hair. Once he'd come up for air, Matt grabbed the bottle of lube. He drizzled some onto his palms and then coated Foggy's dick with it, while Foggy tried to keep from flatlining from all the attention. When he deemed Foggy sufficiently lubed up, Matt laid back on the bed with Foggy over him. Foggy kissed his neck and trailed a finger lightly over his perineum, causing Matt to groan again, and Foggy knew that if he didn't get a move on, it was going to be over for both of them. Foggy lined himself up with Matt's entrance. With a warning, he pushed into Matt, sliding in easily. Matt gasped, a two-part thing, the first half breathless and airy, the second a low groan. "You feel..." Foggy slid halfway out, then pushed in again deeper. "You feel amazing," Matt moaned, his hands outstretched for Foggy's shoulders. Foggy found his pace, slow and languid. Matt's ass sheathed his dick tightly, offering him firm friction, and the edges of his vision grew black and fuzzy. He could only see Matt's face, the ecstasy radiating off of him with each thrust, each whimper that left his ragged mouth built upon the next, spurring Foggy on. He grew faster, raised Matt's hips up to a better angle and pumped harder. Matt moaned louder. Foggy kissed him, and it was inelegant, but it was beautiful. He was brimming with love, and there was fire coursing through his cock as it slammed in and out, hitting Matt's prostate, now as hard as he was. Matt began to stroke himself as Foggy thrust into him, tears gathering in the corners of his eyes, and he didn't have to say it for Foggy to know he was close. Foggy was nearly there, too. He suspected all Matt had to do was say the word, and he'd come fast and hard, but he was holding out as best he could for the payoff. Foggy slowed and rolled his hips. Matt cried out, "Foggy, please, I'm so..." Matt's hands sped up, pumping his cock desperately. Foggy decided to risk it. He pulled all the way out, then shoved in, hard. Matt yelled and his hips bucked. Foggy fucked him faster, then slower, then faster. Matt's cock was leaking, the pre-cum shining slick around the ring of his fingers. His face was aimed upward again like he was in prayer. "Holy, I'm about to come," Matt gasped, and that was enough to push Foggy over the edge, his orgasm shooting through his dick, rocking him forward and deeper into Matt with the aftershock. White cum was spilling out of Matt onto his chest as he shuddered, bringing the last of his own orgasm out of it. Foggy pulled out and somehow managed to summon the strength to remove and tie off his condom. Then he dropped, exhausted, onto Matt's chest briefly before rolling off onto his side. Matt turned toward him. He caressed Foggy's cheekbone and moved in for a long, slow kiss, his tongue sweeping lazily through Foggy's mouth. When they broke apart, he rubbed his thumb across Foggy's lower lip as if memorizing it. With it there still, his other fingers outstretched to cup his jaw, Matt said, his voice syrupy, "I love you, you know." Foggy hugged Matt to him, burying his head in Matt's neck. He believed him in spite of all the facts he knew would make him question it later. But right now, warm and sticky, and wrapped in his borrowed lover and borrowed time, he believed him. He hoped it would be the same for Matt, postcoital bliss at once excusing and disguising the sincerity behind his, "I love you too." Because if he didn't get it out now, before his carriage turned back into a pumpkin, he'd never get to say it at all, and that would be one blow too many. It floated out of him like magic, like his own fairy's blessing, and it seemed to soothe Matt. His breathing slowed, his exhales coming out feather light past Foggy's ear. And just like that, they both faded into sleep. Foggy woke up in a shameful puddle of drool. He lifted his face from where he'd been irrigating Matt's shoulder right into a sharp slice of sunlight cutting its way out from beneath the window shade and turned away blearily. It was tomorrow. His one night with Matt had passed, and as soon as he extricated himself from the tangle they made on his bed, things would be back to the status quo. Foggy tried to convince himself it wouldn't be so bad. After all, he had spent almost 3 years pining after Matt and hadn't lost life or limb. But with one look at Matt's sleeping face, the memory of all the emotions it had played canvas to the previous night came flooding back. Foggy didn't think he could bear it, knowing that the next time Matt looked like that, it wouldn't be him who had caused it. It was selfish, maybe, and those had always been the terms, but that didn't change how Foggy felt. It would take him a while, he knew, to heal. This wouldn't be something he could just walk off. A couple of shakes and good as new. No, it would linger and ache on rainy days, occupy the back of his mind and color even his happy moments. He was beginning to wonder if it had been worth it to have Matt only to lose him, and the stinging in his eyes suggested no. Foggy got up, doing his best not to disturb Matt as he left the bed, and retrieved his clothes from where they were strewn on the floor. He put on his underwear, electing to forego his formal work pants, and paused before picking up his shirt. Matt's lay next to it. Without much thought, Foggy grabbed it. He deserved a small comfort to help him through the transition period back to being just friends. He pulled on Matt's undershirt, fastening a single button in the middle of the white dress shirt that went over it, and padded softly into the kitchen where he leaned on the counter with his head in his hands. He took several deep breaths, willing the tears in his eyes to go silently. Matt was a light sleeper, and he'd been lucky to have gotten so far without waking him. His tears fell, each hard blink pushing another down his cheeks, and he bit his lip to hold back a sob. He sniffed and wiped his nose with the back of his hand, then set about making coffee. The lump in Foggy's throat only grew bigger as he took two mugs out from the cupboard and placed them on the counter. This was probably only the beginning. Someday soon, he and Matt would get separate apartments, drink separate coffee, see less and less of each other as their caseloads multiplied and they moved on to other firms. Matt would outgrow being a playboy and settle down with someone nice, beautiful, of course, and Foggy would have to get used to no longer being Matt's constant. He thought he might grow up. He swallowed back the bile, but this imagined future was too much. He broke down, openly weeping now, sobs racking his whole body as he braced himself against the sink, the open can of coffee grounds momentarily abandoned. There was nothing for it but to ride it out, so he let the tears come, hoping it would at least pass before Matt woke up. He wasn't so lucky. Matt announced his presence with a concerned, "Foggy?" from his bedroom doorway. The door hadn't made any noise when he'd opened it, having been left open a crack by Foggy on his way out before, giving Foggy no warning. He rushed to compose himself, brushing away the tears on his face that he realized belatedly Matt couldn't see anyway. "I'm fine," he said, to ward off any questions. "No offense, but you're not a very good liar," Matt said. He had put on boxers, but nothing else. Foggy smiled wistfully. In another life, maybe, he'd be telling Matt how good he looked half-naked, and they'd spend the whole morning trying to one-up their nighttime activities. Instead, he was stuck doing his best to pretend the ephemeral nature of their one-night stand hadn't turned him into a blubbering mess. "It's nothing, really," Foggy said, turning around and picking up the spoon he'd left half-buried in the coffee grounds. He startled when Matt hugged him from behind, holding him tightly around his middle. Foggy felt him place a tender kiss on the nape of his neck, and he choked out some more tears. He didn't need Matt's pity. He knew daybreak meant his time was up, and he didn't need to be coddled just because they lived together. There was no reason for Foggy to get special treatment. "You can stop," he said, his tone coming out more biting than he meant it to. Matt peeled away from him, a confused and hurt look on his face. "Foggy, what's wrong? Did something happen?" Foggy's nose was running. He sniffed again. "Look, I'm a big boy. I know how this works. It'll be easier if we don't drag it out." He scooped the coffee grounds into the filter, his hands shaking. Foggy saw Matt frown in his peripheral, even as he tried not to look at him. "Drag it out? Drag what out?" Foggy pressed his lips together, more hot tears streaking down his face. He finished setting up the coffee maker in silence. "Foggy?" Matt put his hand on Foggy's shoulder, and his touch seared Foggy through his, Matt's, shirt. It'd been stupid for him to put it on. The sleeves were too tight, and just like Foggy's foolhardy willingness to go along with the one-night stand, What had looked like a salve to put on his wound was functioning more like a slow poison. Stop. Foggy's voice came out wet as he brushed Matt's hand away and took a step back. You can't just... Don't you get that you're making things worse? I don't blame you. If anything, it's more my fault because I knew how I felt, but I think I need you to leave me alone. I don't understand, Matt said, going pale. Is this about last night? I didn't pressure you to do something you didn't want, did I? He braced himself with one hand on the counter, his bare chest rising and falling, in what Foggy recognized as the beginning stages of hyperventilation. He was halfway there himself. No, you didn't pressure me, Foggy said. But he didn't have the emotional bandwidth to soothe Matt further, when he himself was already in terrible need of consoling. I wanted it, but the problem is I also wanted you. He took a deep breath, suddenly convinced that his path to salvation, or at least a place where he could be more okay, lay in confessing his feelings completely. I want to be with you, Matt. I don't want it to end here. He brought a hand up to his mouth to stifle his cry. Matt looked like he was fighting himself. His arms dropped to his sides, and he balled his fists like if he didn't, he was in danger of reaching out toward Foggy and getting pushed away again. Why, Foggy, why does it sound like you're breaking up with me then? Because I don't have it in me to keep pretending I'm not in love with you, and that's how this feels. I'm not stupid, Matt. I know it wasn't going to be anything more than a one-night stand, but I'm trying to tell you that I need to grieve for a while, so can you please give me some space? No, Matt said defiantly. Foggy blinked through his tears at him in disbelief. What was Matt's goal here? Hadn't Foggy been humiliated enough? Not when you've got it wrong. I never intended last night to be one and done, Foggy. I am so sorry that we weren't on the same page. I should have realized back in the restaurant when it was news to you that we were on a date. Matt rubbed the back of his neck. I've never done this before, the whole dating for real thing. I don't know how it works. I was stupid for not clarifying. Foggy was too stunned, still trying to parse Matt's words, to stop him when he moved in and hugged him, pulling his head in close. Foggy, I love you. I want to date you. I want to move into an apartment with a bigger bed and wake up next to you in the mornings and never, ever take you for granted. Matt aligned his head with Foggy's in some approximation of looking him in the eyes. He was serious. Foggy wiped his face again and then kissed Matt, hard. A bigger bed, he said, his laugh coming out more like a hiccup from all the crying. I have my priorities, Matt said, and he looked so relieved that Foggy had to kiss him again. Afterwards, Foggy told Matt flippantly, like he was agreeing to a negligible favor. Okay, I'll go out with you. Merci beaucoup, Matt said, with his annoyingly authentic accent. Foggy swatted him. Boyfriend's rule number one, no more French. A small sacrifice to make. I told you yesterday, and I meant it, Foggy. You're worth it. All of it, whatever that means. Stop. You'll make me cry again, Foggy said, already tearing up. What Matt didn't know was that he was worth it. Worth the heartbreak Foggy had nearly given himself. It was time to tell him, and he would, just after he kissed him one more time, and then maybe another. The end. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this work, please consider leaving a comment on the original work for the author.